Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a new age. It's a huge new development. Again, it's not rocket science.
Back to more of The Other Side of the Glass
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Final hour of the program here. We got college on. We got NFL on. It has been a hell of a day for sports, not just here locally, but nationally all around the country. But we're talking Falcons right now, man, because I've been saying it all show long. Tomorrow is a playoff game, and if you don't recognize that, where you been? 404-726-0929. So we're just talking about how we're feeling today, man. Because there's a lot going on. There's Michael Penix's first start. Your confidence level in him. How do you feel about Kirk Cousins? This article that came out, to dueling articles by Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and Adam Schefter, talking about the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why of Kirk Cousins' future in Atlanta. I'll give you the brief rundown in case you missed it at the start of the show. Adam Schefter reported that because of a $10 million kicker that will begin, I believe the date is March 17th, the perceived plan for the Falcons is, see ya. Yeah. Kirk Cousins gone after 1 year in Atlanta. And they don't want to pay the extra money. They only owe $27 million guaranteed. That's not that bad of a number to absorb, and they'll move on. Mike Florio says, not so fast, my friend, to quote the great Lee Corso. He says that not only is nothing decided yet, but Kirk Cousins could stay as the backup next year. I don't believe that. I don't think that's possible because you can't have those vibes with Kirk being the backup to Penix after everything that's happened this season. You just can't have that. So I think they will move on. But he does have a no-trade clause. And essentially, Florio is saying that he has every right to play hardball. If they say, we're going to ship you, you know, to name the Giants, and he doesn't want to go, he ain't going. Because he's got a no-trade clause. And he doesn't have to help out the Falcons. And essentially, ever since draft night, when they took Penix, instead of taking somebody that could help this year, things might have been a little frosty. That's not what I'm saying. That's according to the report that came out today by Mike Florio. So we got to read between the lines. We got to use good judgment. But I say to all of this, bullcrap. I don't care. I'm worried about tomorrow. I'm worried about the Commanders, and I'm worried about the Panthers. So that's the scene. That's where we're at. Less than 24 hours away from the Falcons having to do everything in their power to keep this playoff chase alive. Let's start with Ian and McDonough. Ian, how are we feeling?
Hey, love the show. Also, love you, man. Your take on pretty much everything Atlanta sports is like where I'm at, and I totally agree with you. It is Penix time, baby. It's Christmas time in Atlanta and everywhere else. Let's go. Time to unwrap our new gift from the draft. Who cares about the money? We are still in this hunt. We need to get a win this week. We need to get a win. Build Penix confidence for the next week because we're going to be facing a tough team with Washington. Get a win there. Knock them out. Get us in. And let's see what happens. That's what I got to say. Love Kirk Cousins and what he did the first half of this season. But, man, he fell off hard and fast.
Yeah.
Sorry. This is a game that says, what can you do for me lately? This is a game that says, if you are not him, you will not survive. So, Cousins, I love you, man, but it's time to move on. Just like you said, time to move on. Who cares about the money? Who cares about all that crap? I'm worried about winning tomorrow.
Yeah, Ian, great stuff. Appreciate the phone call, and thanks for the kind words. That's where I'm at. Like, it's done. Like, there is no going back. So what are we wasting time and energy on this for? Like, why are we having these reports come out? Like, really? Like, it just, there's so many more important. This team already, if the team was pending this decision, I get it. If this was still up in the air and we're going on a week two and Raheem won't make a move and Terry won't make, I get it. I could understand speculating and pondering and worrying about everything from, you know, what's the future going to be to what's the current. But it's laid out, guys. Everything is laid out. Is there a 2% chance Kirk is back next year to back up Penix? I guess so. But it's 2%. And we can't worry about that. We can't worry about anything that starts with 2025 until 2025. Let's worry about the game against the Giants tomorrow. Ian, I thought you were spot on. Fred's in the car. Fred, what do we think?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Chris. Well, I've been following this team since not only was before June Jones was the coach, when he was the quarterback. So I got a little institutional history with these guys, and I'm going to be a little bit reluctant to, you know, just go all in on Michael Penix right now, just because it's the Falcons. I've lived through Eugene Robinson. I've lived through Rashid Hageman. I've lived through 28-3. That being said, I think you're right to focus on, you know, it doesn't matter what we think about Kirk Cousins, because he's gone, he's done. He's probably not going to function as a backup. He's been a starter his whole career. I just don't think that's viable for this team. I think Penix has got tremendous potential, and which is French for, you know, haven't done crap yet. But he has the potential. You got to be enthusiastic about that. And I'm going to be positive in my emotions about him, because I do think, you know, they were very smart to draft him. I knew at the time when they drafted him, you know, they're watching what happened with the Jets. It's like, if our main guy doesn't work out, we have to have a backup plan. So they were brilliant to do that. And now we're going to see if that move was the right move. Thanks for taking the call, Chris.
Yeah, appreciate it. He's also not going to be asked to do a ton tomorrow. I think anything we see in terms of big plays and pushing the ball down the field, that's all going to come if we're winning. If this game is tight, if this is a 14-10 game going into the fourth quarter, it's going to be Bijan and Tyler, man. They're not putting the ball in Penix's hand with the season on the line and saying, go get him, Rook. Not when you have those two running backs back there. But if it's, you know, 24-7 late in the third quarter, why not? Let's see it, big guy. What do you got for us? Let's see that cannon. Let's get everybody fired up. But that's not going to be what wins them the game tomorrow. I hope not, anyway, because if that's the case, then, I mean, then we need to have a conversation about Zach Robinson and what he's doing. 404-726-0929. Let's go to our buddy Yo in the A. Yo, what are we thinking?
Man, I am on the exact opposite page as you right now, because I'm going to tell you this. The thing that Penix does great is play action, throw it deep. We just watched 4 weeks going on 5 weeks of Kirk Cousins not really going further than 20 yards down the field. Penix lives in that 20 to 40 yards down the field range. We're going to see Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier get that first and 10 and take it 7 yards. On second and three, we're going to launch it, because we believe that on third down, if we don't get it, we can actually make that first down. And we have the added component that when they fake it and they do a bootleg, Penix can go out the backside. The thing that Kirk did great was he play action throughout his career. But that's fallen off, and we watched it. That's why they've only done play action, I want to say, 6% of the time this whole year. So he's unable, and that's why they made the switch. They made it to somebody who's a little bit more athletic, but his arm, bro. Instead of guys having to run back to him, they can run away from him. Can you imagine having Kyle Pitts going streaking down the middle of the field and Penix just put it on him with ease? That is what we're going to be seeing. That is what we're here for. And for Kirk Cousins' agent to put that out there, I don't know as a fact, but it seems like it was him. That was disgusting, bro. We didn't need that.
No, yo, I appreciate the call as always. Thanks for checking in. I don't know who it was. Like, I can't say with any certainty. All I know is this. I don't need it. Don't need it right now. Not giving it any merit. Don't care. Could care less. Had to talk about it because it was the number one story on ESPN.com, and it's my job. But in reality, I would have loved to have come on the air today and completely ignored it because I'm worried about what's happening on the field tomorrow and versus Washington and versus Carolina. You can take all that crap, and that's what it is, and keep it until 2025. I don't want it. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Rob in Atlanta. Rob.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
What's
up, man?
I got
a couple of questions, and maybe you can help me with it. What really happened to Kirk Cousins that he just fell off the football universe with his play in just a few weeks' time? That, no one's really talked about it. And secondly, I have to look at the Falcons brass, and I really question their competency, taking a Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles, giving him that kind of money when you could have gotten a serviceable quarterback and still draft Penix, and then trading away 2 second-day picks to move up and get a Roro-ho who hasn't done a damn thing.
Well, he got hurt. I mean, to be fair, he got hurt. He got hurt.
Well, yeah, but still, you traded two-day picks to move up to get him, and he wasn't lights out when in training camp in the first part of the season.
Now, Rob, I appreciate the phone call. Couple of things. Nobody knows what happened to Kirk Cousins. Only Kirk knows what happened to Kirk Cousins. I don't know if he's hurt. If he is, we should have been privy to that information. He has not been on the injury report sans one time this season, from what I remember, and he was off it the next day. So I can't sit here and tell you what happened. The most likely scenario is that we witnessed in real time, father time, catch up to somebody who suffered a catastrophic injury and just wasn't the same. He was able to, for part of the season, be a version of himself, a very good version of himself, albeit a different version of himself, but it wasn't sustainable. And second of all, a couple of things. Rook has played well when he's played. He got hurt. That was part of the reason. So I will criticize Terry Fontenot as much as anybody else. But the things that he has gotten right, we can't use those as negatives when they're simply not. Now, Braylon Trice and Rook getting hurt in the same season as rookies, not what you want, but you can't really control that. It's just part of the game of football. So I agree, Terry Fontenot has not had the greatest drafts, missed on some big free agents, but let's not be overly critical for the sake of being overly critical, especially when we're talking about something that he actually appears to have gotten right, because, again, when Rook plays, he's played pretty well. 404-726-0929. Ahmad is in Decatur. Ahmad, what do we think? Ahmad.
Hello, you hear me?
Yep, I got you.
What's going on, my guy? First of all, I would be the first to say I was not super excited about the Michael Penix pick. I thought Jared Verse coming off the corner or even the Brock Bauer right now instead of a tight end would – help us out a lot more. But if Michael Penix comes out and he balls out, you know what, all is forgiven. But I still believe we need to keep Kurt because Michael does have two knee operations and he's, you know, one snap away from getting off the field. So I think Kurt's a great security blanket. And also, what would we do if Michael Penix comes out and throws three interceptions? And then his second game against Washington throws three more interceptions. Are we going to give up on him by the end of the year? Are we going to go back to Kurt?
Well, Ahmad, I'll tell you this. Raheem Morris, and I thank you for the phone call. Raheem Morris came out this week and said, Kirk is the number two. So there's your answer. He's going back in the game. I mean, I still don't think he'd be – they're not going to flip-flop again, but Kirk is going to be the number two for the rest of the year. I just – Ahmad, I don't see a way they can bring him back now. Once you make this move, it's done. It's just it's done. All the goodwill, all the good vibes, all the take over your trap, that's gone. It'll be a nice memory for him and for Falcons fans, and that's all that it is. All right. Hal, Mel, Dwayne, David, Verbal, Dre. I see full phone lines, so we're going to keep taking your phone calls, 404-726-0929, and why not? It is a huge day for Falcons Nation tomorrow. Might be a huge day for Falcons history, depending on what happens. If this kid goes out there and he lights it up, and we have visions of sugar plums a couple of days before Christmas with this kid lighting it up and being here for the next decade plus, I mean, wow. It's a huge day. Continue to take your calls next. Chris Thomas with you till 7.
The other side of the glass is on.
Oh, my God. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen, I get it. We got Texas and Clemson on. We got Steelers and Ravens on. But we're talking about the Falcons. And we should be. 404-726-0929. We've had a day full of college and NFL football, and it's been great. Not as important as the Falcons, though. Michael Penix Jr. is making his first start tomorrow. It's a really, really big deal. It's a really, really, really big deal. And I've appreciated everybody's input today at 404-726-0929. You guys have been hitting me up on Twitter. Give me a follow at C Thomas Radio. We'll chat about all things Atlanta sports. And you guys have been hitting me up on the text line as well. It's really important. And now it's compounded by this whole freaking article thing between Florio and Schefter. Get that out of here. Enough. Been saying it all show long. I want to talk about Penix. I want to talk about the future. I want to talk about Washington. I want to talk about Carolina. And I want to talk about the Giants tomorrow. I don't want to talk about Kirk Cousins' contract next year. I don't want to talk about $10 million kickers. I don't want to talk about $27 million cap hit. I don't care right now. So stop shoving that down my throat. 404-726-0929. Dwayne's in Decatur. Dwayne.
How you doing?
Yo.
How you doing, Chris?
What's up?
I just want to talk about, I'm looking forward to Michael Penix get playing tomorrow. Because Kirk Cousins, he's old. His age is caught up with him. That's all I had to say about that.
No, Dwayne, I appreciate it, man. You're right. It has. I really think, because, you know, you guys have been asking me all show long, and everybody on the station, frankly, like, we're all trying to figure it out. What happened? What happened? Mike Bell likes to make the joke about the Monstars from Space Jam taking his powers. I mean, it's as good of an explanation as any. I mean, how do you fall off a cliff that steep, especially when you had the type of success that he's had this season? 500-yard game, 2 4-touchdown games, breaks the single-season franchise record for passing yards in a single game. And then he just can't do it anymore at all, period, stop. Can't throw the ball down the field anymore, loses all velocity, his footwork's a mess, tripping over himself. I mean, how does that happen? I don't know. I hope it comes out one day so we all have a better understanding. 404-726-0929. David's out in Kennesaw. David.
Hey, how you doing tonight? Ahmad actually stole my question, but in your opinion, if, let's say, Michael Penix doesn't pan out these next three games, do you keep Kirk Cousins next year as a backup, or what direction would the Falcons go? I mean, you just ride with Michael Penix. Penix again, excuse me, I got a cold.
But, no, you're good, man. I appreciate it. No. You can't. First of all, Kirk's going to be 37 years old. You want him wasting the last couple of years of his career as a backup for the Falcons? No. Nobody wants. I don't think Raheem doesn't want that. Arthur Blank doesn't want, despite the amount of money that they're paying him. Arthur Blank is too good of an owner and too good of a guy to sit there and say, we're going to relegate Kirk Cousins to the bench. Your backup next year is going to be somebody that gives Michael Penix Jr. zero competition because it's his team. Guys, this isn't Desmond Ridder. You don't bring in Taylor Heinicke to challenge Desmond Ridder the same way you would bring in somebody to challenge Michael Penix Jr. You drafted him number 8 overall. You have to see if it works. You have to give him multiple seasons to figure it out. Not 5, but 2, 3. You can't give up on him that quickly. I know some teams have in the past with who was the kid from UCLA that got drafted, that the Cardinals drafted him, and they
Josh
got
Rosen.
Rid of him. Yeah, Josh Rosen got they got rid of him in one season. Justin Fields was cut bait on. But guys, you can't sit here and say that you're going to give Michael Penix Jr. three games and one season to figure this thing out. Not with where you drafted him. Desmond Ridder, you could do it because he was like a third or a fourth round pick. Not the same thing. You could cut bait on a guy like that. 404-726-0929. So expect your, again, your Tyrod Taylors, your Matt Barkley's of the world. That's who's going to be the backup for the Falcons next year. 404-726-0929. Verbal's in Atlanta. Verbal.
How are you, good sir? I have a concern, and it's kind of on line with what you just said, because we really don't know who the backup will be in the future. But my concern is more so with Michael's, I guess, his mentality, his psyche. What do you know about him to say if he goes out there and he stinks for a few games in the future, but he knows that from this experience, the city will give up on you. Perhaps the coaches will replace you. Do you see Michael having the type of mentality where he can persevere, get through that stinky stretch? Or is what's happening here something that he has to look forward to, and it may weigh him down in the future?
Well, Verbal, and I appreciate the phone call. Let me say this. That's not my job to figure out. That's exactly that. You just literally listed the job description, Verbal, for Terry Fontenot. That's his job as the general manager of the team, to pick the guy that he thinks that's going to be able to handle it. Like, that's literally the job of the general manager, to go out there and say, this is my guy, because he has the intangible tools off the field combined with the tangible tools on the field, which we've all seen, the rocket arm, the good decision-making, fitting it into tight windows. But the mental part, the pressure part that you're talking about, that's what GMs in the NFL are paid to do. And the ones that get it right succeed. And the ones that get it wrong, like the Jets did with Zach Wilson, Joe Douglas is no longer the GM of the Jets. Not because of Aaron Rodgers, but because of Zach Wilson. 404-726-0929. Verbal, appreciate the phone call. Thanks for checking in. It's a good question, but the answer's staring us all right in the face. That's Terry Fontenot's job. That's what he's paid to do. They said, and I got to say they, because everything with the Falcons is a collaboration, and they make sure that we know that. I'm not saying it's good, bad, or indifferent, but it is a collaboration. Terry, Raheem, Arthur Blank, Zach Robinson all looked at Michael Penix and said, this is, out of all the guys we want to be our guy, this is the guy we want to be our guy. And half of it is physical, and the other half is mental. Because you could be the most gifted player in the world, Jamarcus Russell, and he played four games in the NFL because he didn't have the mental. You can have all the talent in the world, but you got to have the mental of it too. The reason Tom Brady is such a good quarterback, the reason even a guy like Russell Wilson is such a good quarterback, he may be a cornball, but he's got the mentals. He knows how to handle the NFL game. He knows how to make all the reads on the field. He knows what needs to be done of him, studying the playbook off the field. Tom Brady was maniacal at that. Peyton Manning, maniacal at that. Russell Wilson, maniacal. These guys are out there starting for 10, 12, 15 years because of the mental. The physical, there are so many guys that have the physical. Dom, the other week, or actually, I think it was on Monday, Orin and I, before the start of the playoffs, did a PM power ranking on the night show. And it was our top five quarterbacks that were great in college that never made it in the NFL. You know what they all had in common? Tremendous physical skills. You know what they all had in common for most of them? Equally unimpressive mental skills. Because my number one was Johnny Manziel. That guy was coming onto the scene at the perfect time when the mobile athletic quarterback was taking over the NFL. And he screwed up a $100 million career because of his mentals.
Yep.
There are some exceptions. Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow had all the physical and all the mental, except when it came to throwing the football.
I would say the physical, he kind of lacked that one
but
throwing motion.
If he was of a different breed, he'd still be playing linebacker in the NFL because that's how he was built. But he unfortunately was not blessed with the God-given arm talent of a Jamarcus Russell, of a Johnny Manziel, of the guys that didn't make it because of the mental. 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Good stuff from Verbal there in the A. Let's go out to Dre in Loganville. Dre. Dre is gone. Let's go to Meat in Camp Creek. Meat.
What's up? Hey, I really wanted to raise the question about, because you were talking about Terry Fontenot when I was listening.
Yeah, man.
And I thought about Thomas Dimitrov. And when I think about Thomas Dimitrov, you know the names that come to my head? Kareem Jerry, Jamal Anderson, the defensive end, Tack McKinley, Rasheed Hageman. So he had a lot of picks that just didn't pan out. More than a lot. He never hit on his late round picks for real. So I think Terry Fontenot did a great job. I think we got three rock stars, GM, head coach, quarterback. I think everybody going to do well.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call. Got to let you go because you got a lot of noise going on in the background. But I don't agree with you necessarily that Terry Fontenot's had very successful drafts. At the maximum, they've been top heavy. The first couple of rounds have been good in some of the drafts, but Troy Anderson can't stay healthy. Richie Grant's been hit or miss. Kyle Pitts? I mean, what do we want? Obviously, Bijan is a home run, obviously, but he was always going to be a home run. I don't know if you can necessarily give credit.
Yeah, you spent the first round pick on a running
back. You picked the best player that was on the board. I mean, arguably, he was the best player in the draft. I mean, He's
going to work out.
Yeah, he's incredible. We know that. So, I mean, good on him for not trying to be smarter than the room there and taking him. But, you know, I don't think Terry Fontenot has been a great drafter. I think he's had some great moves, some great free agent pickups and stuff like that. Not this year because Simmons and Judon, woof.
Yeah. But when it comes to Fontenot, I've always said it's not necessarily that I think he has a problem with evaluating talent or finding talented players. I think it's a philosophy thing for him. I think that he, for whatever reason, thinks that, like, if I have enough icing, I can convince people that I have a cake as well. And I think that's where he loses it.
Well, that's what was leaked. Essentially, that exact thing is what was leaked in that story with Bill Belichick a couple of weeks ago, that when he was interviewing with the Falcons, he was not fond of the mentality and the overconfidence that was exuded by Fontenot when it came to his draft strategy. And Bill, apparently, that was a big hair in his craw that he didn't like that. So, I mean, is that something that's going to come back to haunt him if he has, you know, three more years here? Is that going to be something that defines his legacy? Is that, you know, he thinks he knows what he's doing in the draft when maybe there should be some more input from other voices or new strategies considered? We'll see. All right, 404-726-0929. I see Jeremy, Scott, grab a line. We'll end the show with more of your phone calls, 404-726-0929. Hawks pregame coming your way at the top of the hour. Chris Thomas guiding you through a Saturday evening. Been a great show with you. Phones have been busy all night long. Let's end it there on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's a new age. It's a huge new development. Again, it's not rocket science.
Back to more of The Other Side of the Glass
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Last chance for romance here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We still got full phone lines, which is amazing. Love that you guys and gals out there are so passionate about the Falcons and what's going to happen with their future. It's a huge day. I keep saying it because it's true. It is a huge day for the Atlanta Falcons tomorrow. Hopefully the start of what is a new regime for the quarterback situation. And the last 4 years could be just a fever dream. And we'll never have to worry about this again for another 10 to 15 years. And that's the hope. And again, that's the word I used the other night. The Penix situation now gives us hope. So 404-726-0929. We'll finish off the show with your phone calls. 404-726-0929. Jeremy is in Noonan. Jeremy, what are we thinking?
Yeah, not like about Younghoe Koo. I know he's injured and stuff, but he's probably the reason why, like, we missed out on the playoffs because he missed, like, those kicks against St. Louis. I mean, at New Orleans and against the Chargers. But this new kicker that we have, Riley Ferguson.
Patterson.
You know who I'm talking about? Riley Patterson, I'm right. My brother, Spencer Smith, he like went to the University of Memphis with him and like actually helped mentored him as a kicker, because my brother was the punter for the University of Memphis. And if you ask me, I think my brother should have like had a chance to be the kicker for the Falcons, because he would have done a great job too, just as much as I know Riley will.
All right, I appreciate the phone call, Jeremy. I'm not worried about Riley Patterson right now, or Younghoe Koo for that matter. This is all about Michael Penix. I get it. Koo had a really bad year, and now he's injured. He missed 9 kicks. Can't happen. He probably won't be back next year, if I had to guess. Because you can't do that in the NFL. Does that mean someone else won't give him a try? No, I'm sure he'll get, you know, these kickers get recycled like it's nobody's business. So Riley Patterson was with the Jaguars a couple of years ago. He's good. He's fine. I mean, listen, there's only a couple kickers in the league, and Koo was. That's why that stinks too for him, because he was one of them. You know, your Justin Tuckers of the world, your Brandon Aubreys, the guys that really separate themselves. 28 of the 32 kickers are virtually the same. 404-726-0929. So as much as I appreciate, Jeremy, your little personal anecdote there, it's not about the kicker tomorrow. This is about Michael Penix Jr. Come on. Scott's in Atlanta. Scott, what are we thinking?
Hey, Turtle, what's up?
What's up, Scott?
What's going on?
Hey, I got you, man. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Turtle?
Yep, you got me?
Hello?
All right, put Scott on hold there, Dom, and we'll see if we can reconnect him. Let's go to Kyle in Atlanta. Kyle.
Hey, how you doing, man? I'm a Giants fan, but I hope this Michael Penix works out, because I really want the Falcons to win, because I've been here for 14 years, and every year is the same thing. Y'all hoping. I want to see a good quarterback. And Kirk Cousins, he was old. Achilles, $100 million in him. It didn't make no sense when they picked him. So I'm hoping Penix works out. Like I said, I'm a Giants fan, but I want to see some good Falcons game. I want to see some good football.
Well, you want it to work out because you want the higher pick. Let's be honest. You want Shedeur Sanders in your backfield next year.
I actually want Cam Ward. Actually, to be honest with you.
Really?
Really, I like Cam Ward better than Sanders. I actually do. Cam Ward is more poised. He's cool under pressure. He don't crack.
He's a risk taker, though.
Yeah, he is. But I think he got more upside than Sanders, though. So that's all I got to say. I appreciate it.
Interesting. Okay. That's the first I've heard of that. I think Shedeur's the consensus
Scott Beck, by the way.
Number one. Okay. I think Shedeur's the consensus number one QB.
He is for me.
I mean, Cam Ward had a great season, but I don't know if you want that over Shedeur Sanders. 404, unless you just don't want any part of the Deion thing, that's a real thing. I would say the Giants of like 15, 20 years ago would handle all that much better now, because they've kind of devolved into – they used to have a prestige about them that they've completely lost because they haven't made the playoffs. They've won like one playoff game since 2011. They've become a mess. All right, let's go to Andrew in Ackworth, and then we'll get back to Scott. We'll go to Scott in Atlanta now. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, Turtle, what's up?
What's up, Scott?
Hey, before I talk about the Falcons real quick, I wanted to say, did you see the new Sonic movie?
No, I actually haven't seen any of the Sonic movies. Are they good?
Yeah, it was really good. They'll definitely get that Kraven the Hunter
taste out of my mouth. Yeah, okay, for sure.
But anyway, about the Falcons real quick, I think Terry Fontenot, you know, if he went to Arthur Blank and said you have to draft Cousins, and it was him in addition to the coaching staff, someone has to pay for it with their job, because this is a huge financial blunder, and it's just, this can't be overlooked. But the thing I wanted to say, I'm really concerned about if Penix plays tomorrow, not only how the fan base is going to react, because unless he goes out there and throws 500 yards like Cousins did against Tampa Bay and 4 touchdown passes, it seems like we're all going to be, or most of us are going to be disappointed, because he's just not lighting it up yet. But the other thing, too, is I'm concerned about the coaching staff, because I don't know if they're going to put him in the best position to succeed. Everyone wants to blame Kirk Cousins. And look, I get it. He didn't pan out, but they're two different players. And I think, don't we lead the league in just handing the ball off on first down more than anyone else?
Well, especially after the last game, yeah, where they did it 23 out of 24 times.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but I know Bijan Robinson's a great player. But my thing is, I don't know if I trust Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris, the way that, you know, you're going to put a rookie out there like some of the better coaches in the league, because I don't know if they're going to get him in the easy passes, put him in the greatest position to succeed. I hope they do, but I just have some serious concerns about them, and I don't think that people are pointing the finger at them enough. And that's my biggest concern. I think they need to do better, and I hope that they put Penix in a position to succeed, because right now there's just a lot of concern about, you know, the coaching staff. So thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Scott, appreciate you checking in. A couple of things there. This has become a chicken or the egg debate now, conversation with Kirk Cousins. Is Zach Robinson limiting the offense and what they do and the plays that they call because of Kirk Cousins, or was Kirk Cousins struggling in part because of the offense that Zach Robinson was calling? I don't know. That's what we need to figure out. That's what the next three games, Scott, are hopefully gonna tell us. Because if Penix goes out there and balls and they're running all sorts of diverse plays and play action and crosses and, you know, stuff down the field that they haven't been in the last month and a half, well, then it's going to become a lot more obvious that the majority of the reason that the offense was the way that it was because of the quarterback. If the offense looks like it's stuck in the mud, like it has been the next 3 weeks, and there's really no change, and the only thing that works is running the ball, well, then I think Zach needs to have himself a nice long off season and think about what he wants to do in 2025. Because, you know, Penix is going to be the quarterback. So they're going to get three games here to end the season to put him on tape and showcase what he can do. I don't know what it's going to be. You don't know what it's going to be. But that's part of why tomorrow is so exciting, right? Because we're all going to get to witness for the first time in unison the potential, hopefully, of Michael Penix Jr. But I understand some trepidation based off of what's happened in 2024 because of the unforeseen decline of Kirk Cousins right before our eyes. And what role, if any, did Zach Robinson's inability to adjust the playbook, did that cause? Or was it not that at all? Was it Kirk? Was it Kirk simply got to a point where they had to basically say, look, these are the handful of plays that we could run that we know are still going to work and that Kirk can still execute. Anything else? It's just asking too much right now. That's the $64,000 question. Because I don't know that. You don't know that. The only people that know that are Zach Robinson, Kirk Cousins, and Raheem Morris. They're the ones who have to have those difficult discussions. But from what we saw versus the Raiders, it sure seemed like it was Kirk, man. He just couldn't do a damn thing. Couldn't do anything, and the Raiders suck. Their defense isn't good. And they didn't have Max Crosby. I mean, so you want to tell me that it's Zach Robinson, but I don't know. That may seem a little unfair. Just look at the tape. Like, Kirk couldn't do the simplest things against a bad defense without its best player, with the playoffs on the line. Like, where does the evidence point in that situation? Just follow the trail. Because if I'm Zach Robinson and Kirk Cousins, I wanted to win that game 42-0. And it looked like they should have, but they couldn't execute the biggest plays at the biggest moments. And I think that's because of Kirk Cousins' limitations, and not because Zach Robinson is an incompetent play caller. Look, you don't need to be a genius to say, get the ball into the hands of Drake London and Bijan Robinson and Darnell Mooney, who had zero targets. What's going on? And I think that we'll be able, maybe not tomorrow because it's his first start, but by the time we get to Carolina, I have a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot of fun stuff. Fun stuff, we'll call it, with Michael Penix Jr. Some stuff that we haven't seen all season, because he has the arm strength and he has the talent to get the things done that Kirk simply couldn't do the last few weeks. And that's been the theme of the whole discussion since Tuesday, since he was benched. It's just, you need a certain level of productivity. Like, in order to withstand the turnovers, you need a certain level of productivity to offset that. and he wasn't giving you anything. I mean, nothing. The only thing he was giving you was turnovers. It was zero touchdowns and eight turnovers in a four-game span. I mean, what? For a guy who has the resume, especially that he has, it's just, it remains to be one of the craziest things we've ever seen. All right, that'll do it for this edition of The Other Side of the Glass. Thanks to Dom, the producer. I mean, great, great job on the phones today. I did not expect, I had a whole show that I was going to do, but you guys told me, Turtle, your best laid plans go to waste because we want to talk. And I said, hell yeah. Always love doing that with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, especially when it's an interesting and engaging discussion like this one was. Ton of great takes, tons of great opinions. We'll keep this thing rolling, and who knows? Maybe we're talking about something special when it comes to Michael Penix Jr. making his first start tomorrow. Where else are you going to be? Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got the game for you. But enjoy the rest of the college. Enjoy the rest of the pro games tonight, and I will talk to you guys on Monday.